We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, we've got Maria Repetskaya. She is the founder and creative director at Undefined Creative. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. For those who aren't familiar with Undefined Creative, can you explain what it is?
So we call ourselves a media production agency. And our focus is motion graphics. And to explain all of that, what we really do is content creation. It ranges from branding television shows. For example, last year we did Harry Connick's new show, Harry. So it meant doing everything from the logo to the on-air graphics that you see that frame the show. Mm-hmm. And then we do a lot of marketing, a lot of explainers, awareness, sort of brand positioning kind of work. And that could be seen online. It could be seen in corporate presentations. We also do some stuff for social. We do a big campaign with NHL for their partnership with SAP. And that is about 40 to 50 videos a year, a season. I wouldn't say a year, but it's really a season. Those just play down on Facebook. And we do some live events as well. We do work with the United Nations. And that's for big screen graphics while the presentation's going on. So basically, if it's a screen,
yeah,
we've got it covered.
So cool. And do you do a lot of the motion graphics yourself?
I do. I fight to continue to do as much of it as I used to, but it's becoming increasingly hard because business development and operations do take time. But I am a very hands-on creative director.
Cool. And is this something that you went to school for?
I went to school for traditional animation.
Okay.
Which involved paper and pencil, which are two tools I don't use very often these days. But I always had an affinity for abstract art in general. And so I was one girl in a class of 16 boys. And in animation, that meant everybody wanted to do like Marvel comic book heroes and things.
Yeah.
And being the only girl, I had to hold my own. But it was always these like comic book things mixed in with weird experimental like paper cuts and paint. And, you know, when I went to school, it was the mid 90s and it was in the middle of the analog to digital revolution. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know that a field of that was called motion graphics, where I can just push like colors and shapes and text around, even existed, much less that it was something I could make a living in. So I graduated with an animation degree. And then within a year on my first job, I stumbled onto this thing, and it's been my career ever since.
Cool. So how did you get into entrepreneurship specifically?
So I probably spent about the first 6 years or so after college working for others. And I was a art director at a post-production house that did a lot of TV shows for about 5 years of that. And when it came time for me to leave, my significant other at the time, who was also a motion graphics designer and artist, said, we should start a company. And I said, we are way too young and we don't know what we're doing and we really shouldn't. And he said, well, we at least should incorporate and get a name. So we did that. And we did that for 5 years. And we kind of bounced between sort of being a company, but then sort of being freelance artists. And, you know, it was this sort of like nebulous thing that existed and kept us fed and closed. And it was great. But after that parted ways, I started Undefined Creative because I realized that after, at that point, it was 5 years of not working for someone else, it would be very difficult for me to go back to that environment. And I thought, you know, I learned a bunch. Let me see if I could do this again.
Wow. Okay. So you said that you went back and forth between having a business and being a freelancer. So what do you think is the difference between being a freelancer and a business owner?
I think it's the way that you approach sales. I think that's a really big one because as a business owner, you really have to take business development very, very seriously. And as a freelancer, you know, you're selling to a completely different group of people. You're selling to another creative director or your friend that you worked with in the past who is now at so-and-so company. It's a much more low-key sales process. Whereas once you're a business, you can be selling to a CEO who doesn't understand what you do at all. The type of work you're also going after is hopefully, right, much bigger in scope. And you really need to know what you're doing at that point. You can't wing it the same way that you would. You know, freelancers, you can still go online and find the portal for your particular profession, search through the help wanteds, you know, and email a couple of people who are looking. Once you're a business, it's really rare that you come across someone posting, hey, we're looking for this kind of service. Please contact so-and-so.
Like, right.
You just don't have that kind of access anymore. You have to do it on your own.
So would you say that that's kind of the foundation of your business, is business development specifically?
For as much as I try to buck and fight that, yes.
And part of your key responsibility.
Absolutely.
So what is the key to doing it well?
Gosh, I think, you know, for me, it was realizing that it's something that is inevitable that I must get good at. Because without it, I am not a company. I am not a business. And I think for a lot of people who come at this from creative backgrounds, we have this idea that as long as we are talented and good at what we do, the work will come.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. I think a lot of times you have really talented, creative people, and then they go, whoa, I didn't sign up to be a business person, to know the business side of things. So for those people who are very talented and want to share their talents, get hired for them, what advice do you have to making those business connections and being a business and salesperson?
I think first off, be really honest about what your strengths and your weaknesses are and where your limitations may be. And especially if you're starting out without a big investment and it's just going to be yourself, maybe another friend or an associate, and you don't have the funds to go out and hire people to do all of the things that you don't want to be doing, you have to be very, very sober when you look at, you know, the task lists of what a regular business has to do on a daily basis. And that's business development, that's accounting, it's operations, it's, you know, it's looking for insurance. It's all of these things that we really don't think about it, right? That are not glamorous. And if you don't have the ability to hire somebody to do that, you have to be on board with the fact that that's going to be you.
Right.
Yeah. So
what is your strategy for reaching out? Is it cold calling? Is it emailing? What is it?
Oh, man. It is everything. It is everything and then some.
Because, I mean, it's worked for you. I mean, you're working with dream clients. You know,
well,
you
here's
really
the
are.
Thing, though. The really big secret to all of it is the majority of our business is still on referral. And most of my clients, especially the ones who have been with me from the start, some of them have been with me for 12 years now across both companies. Those are all referrals. That is literally someone that who I've worked with, picking up the phone and saying, hey, oh, I hear you need someone. Give this girl a call. And that to date has been the most successful way of building up our client list. What that comes down to is doing good work, doing it on time, doing it on budget, being easy to work with, being good with people, maintaining connections. And, you know, eventually someone else refers you. But with respect to things like cold calls, for me personally, I can't, right?
You're like, not an option for me.
Not an option for me. And I think that's the other big thing about sales. You have to figure out what you're good at, right? Some people would much rather pick up the phone and cold call a list rather than go to a networking event and have to connect with people face to face. For me, striking up a conversation with a stranger is not a big deal.
So that's more of your
strategy? That's more of my
strategy.
My executive producer, she helps us with a lot of biz dev, and she's very involved, but her worst nightmare is walking into a room full of strangers and striking a conversation. She is way better with email, so she does a lot of email campaigns. She does all of the follow-ups. So that, you know, once I establish a relationship with someone, I can make the introduction between the two of them and then she takes over. So that frees me up to do my thing. So fortunately, we have two personalities who are so utterly different. And we work both personalities to our strengths because she's organized. Nothing falls through the cracks. She keeps her list, you know, lists of people and when she last reached out and what the result of the conversation was. Whereas for me, you know, I'm the face of the company.
We're going to take a quick break, so sit tight. We'll be right back. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844.
We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars, and we are continuing our conversation with Maria Repetskaya. So off camera, we were talking about success and how a lot of times, thanks to society, social media, there's this false notion that you go from zero to millionaire and it happens overnight and it happens in your 20s. But yep. Obviously, we know that that's not true. Tell me a little bit about what you think people and entrepreneurs in particular need to know about this.
Well, I think the first thing to realize is you're far better off starting a company with a very clear idea of what success means to you. Because if you don't figure that out and you don't have at least some kind of a concept of where you're trying to get to, where you could check that box and say, okay, this worked. You're just going to forever keep chasing a ghost and someone else's definition, and you'll never really feel like you've arrived. And I think that's super important because growth for the sake of growth, like that's not the point. You know, so you need to have a very good idea of how you want to balance out your life with the business that you're creating to know when you've gotten to the point where you're like, aha, that's my sweet spot. That's where I want to be. And, you know, I learned that lesson by watching people who kept growing past that point. And the problem with that is it's very hard to turn back because a lot of it has to do with overheads and hiring more people and bringing on responsibility. And after you've brought on, say, 10 extra employees and you've realized, oh, man, I was way happier when it was just the 10, 5, you know, name your number.
Right.
Like, what are you going to do at that point? You can't just say, oh, I'm going to let these 10 people go, right?
Yeah. Like,
so you can't backpedal.
Right. You were building somebody else's dream of what
right.
they thought was success, but maybe you would have been more happy or not with a smaller business. It's just, like you said, just being
yeah.
in touch with what is that definition for you.
Just because everywhere we look, we're told that, you know, success means getting to, you know, cash out at X amount of million or, you know, building a company of 150 employees or, you know, figuring out how to do something utterly groundbreaking and then having someone walk in and buy you out. I mean, there's all of these sort of magical unicorn scenarios
right.
that, you know, are outliers. And this is really not the way most business works. So, you know, even
and
for myself.
Obviously, we're not saying that those things are bad, but it's not the end all be all for happiness. And everyone's got their own journey and what they're trying to do here. And I think the lie is that once you hit one of these big milestones, whatever it may be, that all of a sudden you will have arrived and you'll be happy.
All your problems will disappear really, and life is going to be great.
Yeah, but I think really probably just set the bar higher and higher and higher.
Exactly.
I think what we really want is we want to progress. You know, I think we are certainly made to progress, but there's shorter milestones that are a little bit more attainable and just becoming aware of what those are for you.
Totally. I think it's also, you know, a lot of us get into a business and we tend to become sort of one-dimensional, where all of your time is now going into building this company. And the reality of is very few of us are one-dimensional humans. I have many other interests outside of my business, and that's good. I love that. So, you know, for me, it's always been really important to balance that out so that my entire life doesn't become about just my company. And if I grow beyond the point of my comfort zone, that's what it's going to be. So,
yeah. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Sure.
About what do you think is the balance between work and life? And is it achievable?
I think it's achievable to a point. But I think a lot of it has to do with knowing, again, what that balance means for you. Because my balance is going to be completely different from your balance.
Right.
So the example I always like to use is my executive producer, for example. She just needs a lot of time off in short spurts. She'll do staycations. She'll take a day off here and there. She'll do a short vacation. For me, I don't mind if I'm working 12-hour days, 14-hour, whatever it takes. But then I know I need to disconnect. So I take long trips and I do take my vacation time very seriously and I do get away. And, you know, it just kind of keeps me sane. But again, there are people who would look at what some of my work days look like and just say, oh my God, that's crazy. How is that balance?
Yeah. Right?
But to me, that's just how I operate. I'm perfectly happy waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning and working a super long day once in a while, if that means I get to go on a 2-week trip.
Right. And even though you and your executive producer have different ways of going about it, you both are probably very hard workers and both very productive.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, you get your job's done. So there's,
absolutely.
I guess what I'm getting at is there's multiple ways of structuring your work
totally.
To get to the same goal.
Totally. And I think a lot of it also kind of has to do with letting the people that you work with have input into how they like to manage their time as well.
Yeah, and that's very trusting of you. I mean, it helps that you've known your executive producer, what, since ninth grade, did you tell
me? Since ninth grade, yes.
That's such a sweet story.
We met in graphic design class.
That's so cool.
Which I think is so telling. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, so obviously there's a lot of trust there. But do you think that that's possible for other employers to have that with their employees, of a trust of, hey, structure your schedule the way it fits your personality best?
Well, look, we're also remote, which makes the trust factor kind of even more of a big deal. But the reality is, when I hire someone, I'm hiring able, competent, grown-up professionals. And the reality of it for me is, if I need to stand over your head and constantly police how you're working, you know, you're just a terrible employee either way, right?
Yeah. Well, so, and honestly, I think that employees are more motivated when they feel empowered and they are trusted and they're more connected to their work.
Totally. But I think, you know, the moment you treat somebody as a competent, able, responsible professional, they usually respond by being competent professionals.
Right. And in recent months, you've really focused on creating your personal brand and seen the importance of that. So tell me what you're doing and why this is important to you.
So the personal brand grew out of things that were personally important to me. And that had a lot to do with just the idea of giving back. I'm in a very commercial business. You know, we do a lot of advertising and marketing work, and I think that's all great. But, you know, not all of it is necessarily socially relevant. And so I always had this sort of guilty side about, you know, how can I use my talent and my skills and my knowledge to be a little bit more beneficial. And so from that, we grew a mentorship program where we take on an intern and do a pro bono project with them. I started doing a lot of pro bono work. From that grew teaching and mentoring. From that grew writing and public speaking and things like these interviews. And, you know, I realized that I have made so many mistakes along the way that it would be a shame if I didn't take that experience and, you know, pay it forward.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, I'm so glad that we found you and we got you in here. And
you can have all of the mistakes that you want.
So much insight. Thank you so much. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Michael Amini joining us. He's the chairman and CEO of Amini Innovation Corp. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show as well. And I want to hear about your company. Tell us what it is.
Well, we are a design, manufacturing, and distribution of all kind of home furnishing throughout the world.
Fantastic. And you got into this business. How? Was this something that you took over from, it sounds like, oh, my father owned the business and I took it over. Was this something that you just got into? I want to hear that story.
Well, 28 years ago, I'm actually, by trade, I'm an electrical engineer. Wow. When I graduated from school, I worked as an engineer for about a year. And very soon I found out, this is not for me. I can't sit in an office and, you know, work on a project.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, do something that challenges me more. And since my childhood, I loved to be in fashion business. As a matter of fact, when I was 6, 7 years old, I was a child fashion model. And I think I got the inspiration of being in fashion business since then. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get out and be in fashion business. And it was very difficult because I did try many things, including fashion business and imported shoes and went to car business a little bit. And finally, I landed.
For pleasure or for the business?
Well, actually, I had to make a living. So
yeah.
I started working anywhere I could find a job after I quit electrical engineering. And I landed in a furniture company, a furniture manufacturing company right here in downtown Los Angeles. And I got a job as a furniture salesman.
Have you ever done anything in sales before that?
Car business.
Car business. Okay. So you were a standard car salesman taking that trade and selling furniture now?
I think I was born as a salesman. You know, I was always a sociable person and yeah. I could sell things.
It's a very good skill set to have.
It is. You have to be good in selling. I mean, everything we do every day, it's about selling. I think if you want to convince your child or your wife to go somewhere with you, you have to be a salesperson.
Yeah, no matter what it is.
Doesn't
right?
work without it.
Convince my coworkers where we should eat for lunch, whatever.
Absolutely. So I started working there not knowing the ABC of furniture. just to make a living. And very soon I found out that I like this business and I wanted to design for them.
So not just sell the furniture, but start designing it?
Correct. Yeah.
You're tapping back into your fashion side?
I did. I actually came up with a bedroom set that they made. Surprisingly, they agreed to make it.
Wow.
And we did great business with it.
And you obviously got compensated for that.
Not really.
No.
I sold it. And okay. I sold it and, the owner was very encouraged. And within 9 months, I started my own company.
You're like, I sold this thing and it's making this guy tons of money. That could have been your business.
It could have been for me.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to be a business owner. I wanted to, take those challenges of being your own boss.
Yeah.
And from 28 years ago, here I am. I've gone through...
Jumping that far ahead. 28 years.
Yes.
What were some of those lessons, though, on your journey? I feel like there must have been a tipping point for you when you got started. Let's talk about that first and kind of go up from there. When you got started, what was that like? Going from, hey, I want to start my own business. This should be pretty easy if I sold this guy, my idea and he made money with it. Was it as easy as you thought when you got started?
No, because I didn't have any money. I started my business with $7,000 that I saved up. And what I did in the beginning, I basically went selling their furniture. And at the same time, I bought all the return furniture that the store had or some of the manufacturing facilities that I knew. I went there and I bought their return furniture from consumers that they basically wanted to get rid of. And I brought them in and I started repairing them at night. And next day I go back and start selling that back to the retailers. Mm. And that's how I started basically making some money by selling those. So I repaired them, I sold them, I delivered them. And sometimes people ask, what are you? Are you a salesman or a delivery man? So I did basically from A to Z in the beginning. Right. And I feel like I'm still doing it.
Yeah, still today? Just a lot more successful at it?
Well, I never get scared of getting my hands dirty. Whatever it needs to be done, it needs to be done. Frankly, when I was hiring my first president for the company, which was about 15, 16 years ago, I never forget, he asked me, what is my job? Hmm. I said, you do whatever I do. He says, what do you do? I said, I manage the company and I clean the tables if I have to. And he accepted. So whatever it takes.
I love that. A man who does whatever it takes. Michael Amini is joining us. This is Business Rockstars and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to talk about something on your journey so far, and that's probably something that's helped you get to where you are, habits and rituals. Something that separates the billionaires that have sat in that chair, yourself that's in this chair, and all the other successful celebrities and people that have sat here, from the people that are unhappy, sick, and broke, is habits and rituals. And so I'm curious, a habit and ritual of yours that you feel like has made you successful, what would you say it is?
I would say you have to be courageous, you have to be determined, and you have to be willing to work very, very hard and never give up.
Where did you learn that from?
Experience.
Yes.
I never had anyone telling me what to do.
You never grew up with any mentors?
No, because I left home when I was 17. Mm. And I went to school and I was all by myself. And pretty much everything that I've learned, it has been through trial and error. And I have learned one thing, that if you're determined to be successful and you never give up, and you're willing to work hard, you will be successful.
That's so powerful. I love that, Michael.
I'm very passionate about what I do.
Very passionate.
Yeah. And, I get asked from people, what do I do to be successful? I said, I wish I had a formula I could give you, but I can give you a few words. And those are my words.
Fantastic. And so would you say, because a big thing that we like to talk about here on the show is mentors and the power of having somebody who's done it already reach back and teach others who are trying to get there. Would you say that you could maybe be even further ahead in your level of success had you had mentors or advisors or coaches or consultants or anything like that?
Absolutely. I think, if you have mentors and someone to tell you what you're doing is wrong. You know, you definitely skip some of the mistakes that I have made, and and some of the self-made men and women that they're successful in what they do.
What has been the most effective thing for marketing? I feel like it's something we have to hone in on. It's the reason you've become successful, amongst many other reasons, but it's the reason you consistently move product. And that's your ability to put it in front of people to be able to see it and ultimately result in sales. What's been most effective? Is it online? Is it magazines, as you were mentioning? But I also know you don't just sell to the consumer, you sell primarily business to business. So explain what that process looks like.
Well, all of it. I think social media has been very, very strong. So we have been in social media last 5 years, and we do have a marketing department that they're absolutely wonderful. And they do all the legwork, and we're out there through our social media, our website, and Facebook has been very, very strong for us, Twitter, and every avenue that we can go through social media has been very strong. At the same time, you know, we have not forgotten about the traditional print, and we are in a lot of consumer magazine as well as trade magazines.
Was it a hard shift for you to make? I know that it's tough for some business owners who live by the six most deadly words. We've always done it this way.
Yes.
And so I know that it can be difficult to shift from, well, this is how we've been doing it for the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Now we have to start doing this social media and pixeling and remarketing and getting on all the social platforms and doing video content. What was that a tough shift for you to make, or was it something that was seamless?
It was a very tough shift, but I have two teenagers at home. One of them just actually left to overseas for a college. But watching them basically tells you what you have to do and what changes you have to make in your business. I mean, we go to buy shoes for them. They see the shoes there, but they don't want to buy it. They just want to buy it through social media, through a website. And it's amazing that how things has changed. But you start learning. And from 5 years ago, yes, it was a very difficult move for us. And we have done it, and we have done a great job, and we are out there, and we can be found very easily by consumers.
That's fantastic.
And that helps our retailers, because when they see that we are up and coming in every aspect of marketing, they appreciate that.
I'm sure they do. You guys are getting out there.
And talking about, you know, how do we market, you know, we of course have salespeople out there globally that they go see customers, and that also is another avenue for us to present the new goods to our customers, that they don't get to come to the trade shows that we have here or other places in the world.
That's wonderful. Well, the one thing that's consistent amongst all successful people that sit where you're sitting is they adapt to change. And one thing that's definitely changed has been how you can market and how you can reach people. So I love that you brought that up. It was a tough change, but you did it, and it's going to help you be successful. Any last words for how people can reach out or find you or get your furniture?
Well, they can go to amini.com, and basically we have dealer locators there, and they can find
some local the closest.
Exactly. And we are in almost 80 something countries, and they can find us the closest dealer near them, and
get some crystal furniture, get some bling.
We are obese.
That's fantastic. Well, Michael, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you interested in innovation, inspiration, growth, and leadership? The Entrepreneur Event of the Year happens Thursday, November 9th. Entrepreneur Live with Business Rockstars on the Digiland Innovation Campus in Burbank, California. One powerful and inspiring day of speakers and networking, bringing together CEOs, founders, entrepreneurs, and influencers, all sharing their unfiltered stories. Founders, CEOs from companies like LegalZoom, DocuSign, Hudson Jeans, Fremantle Media, and celebrity entrepreneurs including Sarah Michelle Gellar, John Taffer, Carmen Electra, and others. To purchase tickets, go to entrepreneur.com. Sign up now at entrepreneur.com. Entrepreneur Live with Business Rockstars, Thursday, November 9th. To purchase tickets, visit entrepreneur.com. Sign up now at entrepreneur.com.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day. Watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app. Home Advisor.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Vivian Williams. 95% of thyroid nodules are benign and don't cause problems. But if you notice a lump in your neck, it's important to see a doctor and have an ultrasound imaging exam of the thyroid.
It will tell us a lot about what it is, where it is, what it's next to. It will tell us if it's cystic or solid. And it will give us some clues about whether it's benign or not. And that's always one of the questions when we find a lump there or a lump anywhere else for that matter.
Endocrinologist Dr. John Morris says if the tumor is malignant, patients have several treatment options.
Most thyroid cancers are a type of thyroid cancer called papillary thyroid cancer. And most of those are very well treated with surgery alone. In some cases, when the tumor is more aggressive or advanced, we may consider other treatments. Radioactive iodine is one of the more common ones that we prescribe.
For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org.
I'm Laurel Mintz, Senior Business Rockstars Correspondent and CEO of Elevate My Brand. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide daily on radio, TV, and online. I'm here with Jennifer Burson of Generation PR and Generation Academy. Jen, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So everyone wants to be in PR. How did you get into this world?
Oh, I have kind of a non-traditional career path. So I actually started out in civil litigation. You and I have that in common.
Yeah.
I'm an attorney also, and I practiced for about 4 years, and it just felt more like a job to me than a career. I know you kind of probably understand that distinction, and I just felt like there was a more kind of creative path and a path where I could be my own boss. And I started working for a brand on the side, unpaid, promoting
while
a fragrance
you were attorney?
Company while I was an attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was kind of doing double duty. And I just loved the work so much, even though I wasn't making any money doing it, I was kind of promoting a brand unpaid on the side. And I said, if I can do this full time, this would just be the perfect fit for me personality-wise. And I would be excited to go to work every day. And so I started to explore options for how I could make a career out of this. Do I go work for an agency? What does that look like? What resources are available to a person that wants to run a business like this? And I just decided I'm going to start my own company.
How did that brand find you, or did you find the brand?
I found the brand, actually. So it was a fragrance company, and I found them on my bar trip. So after you take the bar, you know, you go to, like, Europe or
Asia. Yes, I did Greece.
Greece, yep. Okay. Yep. I went to Italy and all over Europe. Very lucky to get to do that. And you kind of go crazy before you start practicing. And while I was there, I discovered a little fragrance company. And when I ran out of it, I searched everywhere to find this company and finally realized that they were based in California, which is where I am. And I loved it so much. And I said, why doesn't this brand have any presence here? Nobody knew about it. The marketing concept of the brand was so beautiful and it merchandised really well. And I just had all these ideas for how I could help this brand get increased sales. And it just came to me with this one particular company. I just had such a connection to it. So I reached out to the owner. I wrote her this, you know, passionate plea, please let me support you in some way. I won't ask for any money, but I will need product. You know, I thought she's going to think I'm a crazy person that just wants some free stuff. But she said, I think that'd be a great idea. Let's give it a try. and sent me this huge box of lotions and perfume, and it was like—
And you were happy, a happy girl.
Loved it,
so
it was great.
So you fell into being an entrepreneur, or did you kind of have that inside you the whole time?
I think that I had it inside me the whole time. So my dad has his own business, and I just grew up in a household where my parents were always available to me, you know, whether we were doing sports or going to art classes or having family dinners together. And when I was an attorney, I didn't see a lot of my peers or a lot of my role models having a similar family life that I ultimately wanted to have. And so just looking at my father as a model, I knew that I wanted some way where I could be present for my children. And at the time, I didn't have kids. I wasn't even married. But I saw the path and knew that I wanted to create an environment for myself where I could have the kind of balance. I know that word's a little controversial and tricky because you never have perfect balance, but as close to the family and work life setup that I was hoping to achieve.
Connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on the radio, TV, and online. I'm Laurel Mintz, and this is Business Rockstars. I'm here with Jennifer Burson with Generation PR and Generation Academy. Let's talk a little bit about the leap from creating the PR agency and the academy. It's really cool what you're doing. You're productizing basically what you have learned over the years of being in PR, which is so invaluable. Where was that journey? How was that leap made?
Well, I've been running my agency for 11 years, and it's great. It's going, you know, very strong, stronger than ever, I would say, and which is really exciting. And I get asked a lot of the same questions all the time from entrepreneurs. And, you know, at some point, there's just the balance of time spent to be with my family and time spent that's dedicated to my clients. And I love talking with entrepreneurs, but I wanted to find a way where I could talk to more people and support more people. But, you know, one-off conversations, they take a lot of time. And
absolutely,
I was finding that I couldn't have all these, you know, conversations with a lot of people. So I actually started a Facebook group and put it out there just to connect with people. And didn't expect it would take off the way that it did, but it's grown tremendously, and there's entrepreneurs from all over the world. And what's been really exciting is that they're all supporting each other, and it's this really strong community. But I'm learning what entrepreneurs need. So it's all stages of their business, and the support at the beginning, and how to create a marketing plan, and how to implement a PR strategy, how to connect with social influencers,
so important,
how to integrate social media marketing. And so we're providing free live training and just giving as much value as we can to this community. And then I started to realize, you know, I have a lot of expertise and experience to offer. And so the way that I could potentially put it out into the world is to create courses where I can teach people the exact strategies and steps that they need to implement.
And it's so much more scalable. I mean,
yes,
it's good for you because it means that you can teach that to more people.
Yeah.
And it's so necessary. I love what you said about giving, right? You're giving this to your community. You're offering them tips and tools that otherwise they would not have access to. And you're doing what your kind of big picture vision is. I think you're kind of like a unicorn.
Well, we'll see.
Most publicists like hold that information back. They don't want to share that information. Why is that?
I never worked at a PR agency. I just kind of did my own thing.
Maybe
and
that's
I
feel the difference.
Like, yeah, and I feel like people have helped me along the way, and I've had mentors, and I've had people come to me and ask for advice and strategies, and I'm happy to share. I just feel like there's enough work to go around. And I feel like when you create a community of supportive people around you, it only helps you and elevates your own brand.
Thank you for the name drop. I appreciate that.
Tying it all back in there.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I like to have a collaborative community, and the more you give, the more that comes back to you.
I totally agree with that. It's a complete cycle. I really think it's so smart that you recognize, you know what, I can only give so much being an agency, right? I mean, you had a team and you were working with some really, really big brands. Actually, can you share with us some of those brands? Or are you not allowed to share that on the air?
No, I think I can. So we work with a lot of baby and kids brands. So mm-hmm. I actually started, my first client was a company called Little Giraffe, a very upscale, luxurious baby blanket and mm-hmm. accessories manufacturer.
Pretty much everyone has one of those now.
And had a lot of success with some celebrities seating and celebrities using the products and a lot of press. So kind of developed an expertise for my company there. And so we represent Skip Hop, which is a huge international brand. Really excited to be working with that brand and just brands all over the world. I have a Canadian company, Lulu Joe Baby.
You are just all
beauty brands,
over the place. I love it.
Beauty brands
so
as well.
Great.
That's my passion.
So great. Lifestyle and beauty. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on radio, TV, and online. I'm Laurel Mintz, and this is Business Rockstars.